right, everybody, welcome to a brand new series that we're kicking off here today called I Want a New Marriage. And hey, just fellas, don't forget, today is Valentine's Day. All right, so just trying to help all the fellas out today. All right, don't forget. All right, but say don't forget. All right, it's today, not tomorrow, today. All right. We're so glad to have you. If you are here for the very first time, we just want to welcome you again. So glad that you're hanging out with us on this Sunday. And what a great time to be here, because this is a series that I'm very pumped about because it's important. But not only is it important, it's going to be something that I really do believe over the next few weeks together that this we're just going to see God do some amazing things in the lives of those who are married, but also those who are single. This is an important series for you as well, and so I just want to encourage you, even though it says I want a new marriage, don't check out on us, because we got some relationship principles that we're going to help you with in the journey as well that I believe will be extremely valuable for your life. And so as I was just praying over this, and really this has been the way I do our series, our messages, I really take time just to pray, and I like to plan ahead. It helps me, and it helps our teams to plan. So I've had a lot of time just to be praying over this series, and I just know, I know in my spirit, man, that God wants to do some powerful things in us through this. So I just want to encourage you. We're doing this through the end of February, so a few more weeks, and I just want to invite you just to commit to being a part of this series with us, and to not check out, and try not to miss a week, because I just really know that God's going to do something incredible in us. And so I was looking at just some stats, and there's some alarming stats that I think need to catch our attention that I think may rock your world a little bit, and it should rock us a little bit, and especially a couple of the stats I'm going to give you. And one of the stats is, did you know the average marriage in America now is only lasting 3 years or less? Yeah, so if you have been married over 3 years, I mean, congratulations, seriously, because you have an above average marriage according to national statistics in this nation. And so it's really just, I think, an epidemic is what we're seeing in this nation like never before as it relates to marriage. And so here's what I know. Marriage is worth fighting for. Come on, everybody. I know it's been a couple weeks since I preached, but talk to me in here, all right? And so marriage is worth fighting for. And so, and we as a church, I believe it's the responsibility of the local church, because the local church is the hope of the world. And so it's part of our mission and our responsibility to equip and minister life to marriages. I believe if the local church is going to see the destiny that God has for us, we must see our marriages and our families strong. I'm telling you, strong marriages, strong families produce healthy, strong churches. Can you say a good amen? And so we need to remember that, and this is going to be a very important series for us. And a couple other statistics that, man, just have shaken me to my core is the city of Fort Wayne. Now, I want you to think about this. Your city that you live in is number two in the nation, and not per capita, number two in the nation leading in divorce. Now, right here in our backyard, our city. That's a big deal, guys. It's a big deal. And as a pastor, I take that very, very seriously. And it just goes to show that there is a mission field for marriages all over this great city. We're one of the fastest growing cities in this state. We're actually growing at a faster rate than the city of Indianapolis. I don't know if you know that. So the rate of growth that is happening is just, it's incredible. But I'm excited about living in a growing city, about what God can do. But I do realize at the core that we've got to help families. We've got to help marriages. And we've got to help our singles out and help give them just some biblical values as well along the journey, knowing who to marry, who not to marry. Mm-hmm. All right. And the other stat that was alarming to me is that we are top three in the nation, and this is not per capita either, in leading in swingers. And if you don't know what that is just essentially this. It just means spouses share each other's spouses for sexual activity. And we're top three in the nation with that. And so I'm telling you, God has a lot of healthy things for marriage. But what I'm real tired of is the enemy perverting that which God has blessed and called sacred. And so, my heart is that we see, husbands and wives go to the fullest potential that God has for them. And let us give, Scripture says, no room to the devil. Don't give him a foot. Don't give him a place, Scripture says, in our lives. And so I believe marriages are worth fighting for. And I believe that we must do a good job right here in the local church and helping to develop and equip everybody. Can you say another good amen? So I want to start off and I want to give you some ground rules, all right? Because this is going to be important in this series. And I want you just to remember a few of these things because they're going to be vital for you. First of all, this series is for you. All right, everybody say, this is for me. All right, so that means this, no elbowing. Come on, the person next to you during different points, this for you. You need to listen for you, not for him, not for her, for you. All right, everybody one more time, say, this is for me. All right, good. So this is for you. And here's the second one I just want to give you, laying some ground rules again. It's just reminding you, because here's what I realize, that through a series like this, a lot of times that we can get frustrated. And it's sometimes I think we can even get discouraged because we think, man, it is too tough to live up to the standards that God has for us. And I just want to encourage you, with God's help, it's not. But here's the key, what happens a lot of times is Satan comes in and he reminds us that we stink. He reminds us how awful we are. He reminds us that there's no way this can work. And so here we've got that voice. But here's the cool thing about God, that anytime that God is trying to help adjust something, because we all need some adjusting in our lives from time to time, because none of us got it together. Amen, everybody. All right. This is a church for imperfect people. No perfect people allowed. All right. Just so you know. All right. Because we all got stuff that we're working on. All got stuff that we're trying to work through. And so here's the awesome thing about your God is that anytime he brings conviction to an area, he always provides a way out. And that's the difference between the way God works and the way the enemy works. And then here's the third thing today is the last Sunday of this month, February 28th, is rated PG-13. All right, it's going to be spicy, all right? And so here's what I'm recommending. For kids 12 and under, that this is a great opportunity for your kids to get to know our kids' ministry. Come on, somebody. And we have a powerful kids' ministry, let me just tell you, that's growing in vision and thriving. And so I just want to invite you to invite your kids to join that. But it's perfectly appropriate for kids 13 years of age and older. And so you may ask, man, is it really appropriate for my 13-year-old kid to hear? And I'd say absolutely yes, because they're hearing more than that in their schools. And I think this, when we talk about subjects, you know, the two most neglected subjects in the church today is on finances, but also on sex. And I think if we're going to understand sex, we've got to understand it the way God intended it for it to be. And so that's what we're going to look at on that Sunday and a few other things. And God has just given me some specific things, even as it relates to our singles and helping you out as well, because this is going to be a vital and important series. By the way, how many of y'all think I'll just preach from this from now on? I'm really considering just from now on doing away with that, maybe just laying it all right here. You know what I'm talking about? Like just it looks good. I'm going somewhere with that, all right? It was actually really funny because I told Caleb when God this for me. And I said, I don't know what store is going to listen to us, but I said, I just need it for a day. We ain't trying to buy it. Ain't going to use it after. All right. But I told him, I said, that awkward moment when you go in and ask it for a toilet for a day, you know, and get the look right back and say, and what church do you go to again? You know, so I don't know. It's Pastor Kyle's back. All right, here we go. How many of y'all ready to go? Ready to get in the Word today and ready for what God has for you? Amen? All right. I want to share something to you as it relates to the toilet. If you notice in your message notes, you can grab those, by the way, if you already haven't. The message, I just titled it this way, Don't Forget to Flush. Everybody said, don't forget to flush. Tell the person next to you, too, don't forget to flush. Don't forget to flush. You know, we had, for those that don't know, we had our third baby a few weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago. And so while Bethany was in the hospital with Braxton, during the end of her time at the hospital, then when she got home, man, sickness struck the Mills house with a vengeance, let me tell you. All the kids, myself, we were all just sick during that time, and the flu hit us. Man, we had it going out on both ends, if you know what I'm talking about today. And the toilet became a friend. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Like, late in the midnight hour, like, it by 2, 3 a.m., thank God for the toilet. You know what I mean? And got so bad, I was tired of seeing the toilet there for a while. So were the kids. But it was one of those times, man. Everybody's just getting sick, and it just, bleh. I mean, it was bad. And we had to clean the floors. We had to clean the beds. You know, the sheets, the linens, all those things. Daddy even had to come and scrub the toilet a few times. You know what I mean? And we just, you know, it was that kind of time. And it reminded me that it's a great picture of marriage and family. Oh yeah. Like, I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about, and I think you do, but I remember when I first got married to Bethany, all right? And I remember we fell in love, and we're madly in love today, and that's my girl, man, and we'll celebrate 9 years in April being married. But I remember thinking, we started off and much like probably you did when you got married, thinking, man, baby, ain't nobody love like we love. You know, ain't nobody going to love that. This love is real. You know, and so you've experienced that moment. And then how many know, you know, after you get married, here comes the honeymoon, baby. Amen. Glory to God. But how many know that honeymoon does come to an end? We'd like for that honeymoon just to continue on. But the truth is, we got to come back home. And then what waits for us? Life, reality, right? Pressures. You know, we've got career pressures, financial pressures sometimes, pressures with the kids when we get back, all kinds of different family pressures, maybe friends or whatever it may be. We come back to reality and realize that, man, life is tough. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm living with this human who's got issues, too. And then realize that, oh my goodness, they've got an attractive coworker. Then we see all hell start to break loose. And reality hits. Life hits us hard. And many times we find out very quickly, man, this ain't what I thought it was going to be like starting out. Like, this is tough. And here's the truth. Marriage can be very tough at times. It can be very difficult at times. And that's why I believe it's so important that we do messages and series like this to help us. Because I think when we look at what culture and the world around us is telling us, that it's easier just to give in. It's easier just to give up. That's what's said. That's what culture continues to try to paint to us. And so maybe it would just be better if I had a new marriage. Malachi chapter 2. Beginning here, right here, just in verse 16, this is out of the Message Bible. Just love how the paraphrase of the Message Bible says it. God says, I hate divorce, says the God of Israel. I hate the violent dismembering of the one flesh of marriage. Man, I just think it's real powerful how God says it that way. The violent dismembering of the one flesh of marriage. So watch yourselves. Don't let your guard down and don't cheat. I think the problem is that many times we fall for the lie that it's easier to quit. It's easier to give up. We think the grass is greener on the other side. I'm here to let you know the grass ain't greener on the other side. It may look green, but I'm telling you, the water bill is higher. Amen, Pastor. All right. And in culture, it tells us that, you know, well, if I just find the right guy and the right girl, man, everything's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. I'm not going to have any kind of issues. But here's the problem with that is you're human. Like, you mess up a lot, which is why we need a Savior who saves us from our junk. Amen, everybody? And so, but we bring our stuff into the marriage with us. Sometimes we bring toxic stuff, and we tried, and I'll talk about this later in a message, but that's why we do premarital counseling here, is we don't leave any stones unturned. I mean, it's our goal to make sure none of them stones have not been turned over yet. We want to make sure we're helping people in every way, but we realize this, that you know what, that still, when you come into marriage, it's tough. You can go through counseling, and it's good, and we need it, and it's important, but stuff still happens because you're human. You make mistakes. You trip up. And so we believe the lie that the world says that, well, if I just had the right person, if I just would have married the right person, then all would be well. And that's where a lot of people sometimes get caught up thinking, I just married the wrong person, marry somebody else, and then it'll be well. But it's interesting to me that things like that are oftentimes said. And if that were true, I think we would see more success in second marriages. But we don't. And so that's why it takes work. And so I believe this, that the best marriage is the one that we are in right now, that we got to work on. And no matter what is happening, I believe it's less painful to work on your marriage and where you're at now than to just start over and do it new again. And so we're going to be committed to work. Now, let me just say a couple things too, because I think this is so important that you hear my heart in this. First of all, this is not meant to be condemning at all for those that have been a victim of divorce, because I realize some of you, man, have went through things that were out of your control. And I realize that many are here and they're single again, and that's where you're at. And so I just want you to know we're not judging anything you've done, or we're not saying that you were wrong, okay? So just want us to make sure we understand our heart through this. My parents divorced at a very young age, and so in so doing, I've learned a lot from my parents after they went through that, and a lot that they have helped me with before I even got married. But I just want you to know that. So we're not here speaking to your past, and nor are we trying to bring anything up. Our heart is literally this: to come alongside you, to love you, to care for you, to give you some biblical values and principles that you can have in your life that will help make your next marriage a success, in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. So I just want us all to know that. And again, if you're single, don't check out. It's going to be powerful for you in this. If you're engaged, you're going to be married soon or within the next year or two. This is going to be an important series for you as it relates to helping prepare you for what is ahead. And so I want to just encourage us, though, that we understand that scripture, that God sees divorce as such, as a violent dismembering. And the truth is, all of our marriages have issues and things that we've got to work on. Look at the person next to you again. Tell them, don't forget the flesh. So what happens is we think, oh, it's going to go well right off in the sunset, call it a day, and boom, you know, and the reality hits. And then what happens is we find out, jot this down, that they don't remember to flush. Yeah, that human that you're living with, they forget to do some of the important things that need to be done. And so here's what I don't believe in. I don't believe in the philosophy or the ideology that if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. For the love of God, flush this toilet, please. All right? And so I'm trying to train my children up in the way they should go. Amen. Flush that thing in Jesus' name, because ain't nobody want to see that. There ain't nothing more frustrating when you come to a toilet and it's already been used and nobody's flushed it. Lord have mercy. Talk to me, somebody, all right? And so I don't believe in that at all. And so it's funny to me that when we think about this, and if you're dating now, it may be even funnier to you right now. But for those that are married, and remember those days that you were dating? Remember, man, you did everything you could to look good. Come on, smell good. I remember Beth and I were dating. Hugo Boss was the big cologne. So I was wearing my Hugo, wanted to impress her, make sure I smell good, not funky, amen. Wanted her to be around me, not away from me, you know. And so, we did make sure my hair was did, all those kind of things that's so important. And she did likewise, you know. And it's amazing when you're on the dating scene how you try to act like bodily functions aren't a part of life. I mean, know what I'm talking about. Like, you know, if you've got gas, I mean, you're going to hold it. Even if that means your stomach is going to cramp up, you're going to do whatever it takes. Or you're going to politely, baby, I got to go to the bathroom and go do your business and hurry up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just do that. You know, and it's funny when you're dating how all those little things, like, you just protect, make sure they don't happen. You know, you don't want the wrong vibe happening. But then all of a sudden, you get a ring on the finger. Oh, man. And then we get real familiar with each other. And we're on the drive to church this morning, and you're driving, and all of a sudden you just, hey, man, what is that smell? That is foul. That is not of God. Who did it? And your husband trying to blame the kids when it was him, or it was you. We just do those things, you know, and it's amazing to me how we see that. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20 says, there's not a single person in all the earth who's always good and never sins. All the singles in the house, listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. She ain't that perfect, and he ain't that perfect. She's a sinner, and he's a sinner. She's got issues, he's got issues. Husbands and wives, you married a sinner. All right? He's a sinner, she's a sinner. We all need help. We all fall short, Scripture says, of the glory. That's why we need Jesus present in our everyday life. Can you say amen? Here's the second one. You ready for this? Man, you live with people, you figure this out. They don't replace the toilet paper. Oh, man, there ain't nothing more frustrating. There ain't nothing more frustrating when I need to file paperwork and the paperwork ain't there to file. How many know what I'm talking about? It's empty, y'all. Like, frustrating. Oh, man. But I'll confess this morning, I sometimes have that problem too. And so Bethany and I have some of those married conversations. Amen. And so we try to work that out. And by the way, can I just say something to you? There's only one way to put a roll on. I'm trying to help some marriages out right here. Like, this is the way it's supposed to go. Like, because if it's reversed, we have problems. Like, I don't know if you've ever been on the old toilet and it been reversed. It's a struggle. The struggle is real. So I'm just trying to provide some peace right now. You can take that right there, and that may change your marriage right there. Some of y'all, that's all you needed to hear. You can go home now. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all you needed. But it's true. It's true. So that's part of my OCD issues. All right. But here's what we find out. Our marriages are flawed. And guess what? We even annoy each other from time to time. There may not necessarily be a sin issue, but they just annoying you. And we got to work on that. We got to work some of those things out. Y'all here today? And so I want to encourage you to look at the scripture, because this is a powerful scripture that I truly do believe. And hear my heart in this today as I'm standing by a toilet. Hear my heart in this today in all seriousness. Don't make a serious point by a toilet. All right. But is a lot of times I think what happens in the journey for many of us is there's little things that just go left unchecked and little frustrations that all of a sudden begin to mount. And after a few years of marriage, you're about ready to lose your mind. And the Song of Solomon is one of the most powerful books that you may not have ever read in your Bible. Maybe you have, but it is. It's an incredible story about two lovers, man. Man, the girl that was into the guy and the guy that was into the girl, and man, they were madly in love. Like, you read that book, it is spicy, spicy, spicy. But I think it's so cool because God knows us so well. And that's why he put that book in the Word, for us to see relationship and intimacy as God sees it, everybody. It's so important. So this is part of it. It says this, Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 15, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. It's the little things, the little foxes that come in, the little disagreements that start and all of a sudden it just goes and goes, the little habits that go unchecked, that all of a sudden you go 5-10 years from now and you're in a place of bondage. You're in a place where your marriage is not healthy, where you're struggling, where you're having the enemy sow thoughts, and you're starting to be distracted and are receiving the negativity, when God is saying right now, for some of us, we need to get a check on this for our marriages. We need to be aware of the little things in our marriage right now that they may be annoying today but can be your destruction later if you're not careful. You've got to take heed to your marriage. You've got to steward your marriage and your relationship. Amen, everybody? Here's the next one. Jot this down. Man, and again, you'll see this. This is what happens when you live with an imperfect person. They don't put the seat down. Oh, Lord. Specifically for men. All right, ladies, I know. Trust me. All right. Let me just say this for every male in the house. All right, guys, especially all the single guys, can I just give you a strong recommendation for your future misses? For the love of God, put the seat down. I'm just telling you, put the seat down. So not too long ago, I forgot to put the seat down in my house. Thankfully, it wasn't my wife, my queen, but it happened to be my daughter. And she went in the bathroom, and I knew I forgot to do something. And lo and behold, she goes in, and I'm thinking, man, I think I forgot to put the seat down. All I hear is a blump, you know. Man, she like cannonballs in the toilet. It was bad. It was bad. I walked in, she's crying. I'm like, babe girl, I'm so sorry. I'm a horrible dad. You know, forgive me. You know, and had the Lysol her tail, you know, and all those things. It was bad, man. Took her outside, hosed her off, you know. But guys, listen to me. God has a scripture for putting this down, and it's this. Proverbs 14, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Trust me. Things will be a lot smoother in your house if you'll put the seat down. Come on, everybody say, put the seat down. Oh, man. That's funny right there. I don't care what you say. That's funny. But not only are we flawed, but we're selfish. Every one of us. Every one of us have that part of us. The root of every argument is self. And we look to seek to be right all the time. We've got to give up the right to be right. And our culture is doing a great job at promoting selfishness. And so I think sometimes we do it, and our kids in return do it, and they're following your example, Mom. They're following your example, Dad. And there's it's toxic things sometimes that is destroying families all over the nation. And I just want to challenge you, and we'll talk a little bit more about this just as it relates to communication. But you'll have heated moments. I get that. You're human. You're going to get upset. You're going to be mad. I try to coach parents a lot in this because it's so important that when you have moments like that, that you got to learn how to make sure the kids aren't in the same room, everybody. Mom and Dad, you got to protect them from that because if not, they're going to repeat what you're doing. You are always reproducing yourself in them, good and bad. So you got to think about that. You know, moments that, you know, Bethany and I, we don't have the perfect marriage at all. You know, we have our moments, our issues, our fights, those things, arguments that we've had. And, you know, times that, you know, I may need a little time out and say, man, I need like 10 minutes. I just, you know, I need to go in the room, I need to pray, and then we'll talk. You know, that's the thing. If you find yourself in that place that you need some time, there's nothing wrong with that. But communicate to your spouse how much time you're taking, where you're going, and when you'll be back. And sometimes we just get mad and we just go out the door and then we don't see each other till the next day. No, it's not how we work it out. It's not how God wants you to work things out. That we always give just a healthy expectation. If you need a half hour, take a half hour. You need an hour, take an hour. But make sure we're working on it. I'm going to show you something next week that's going to be powerful to help you in times of conflict, how to really work conflict out and how to and really how to invite God in on those situations. Because in times of conflict, you need the presence of God. Like, you can't do this without God's help and his presence. Y'all hear? Amen. So let me say this too real quick, because I told first service this. I was reminded of this week. Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Family, usually has some good stuff. And one of the things that I thought statistics are showing right now, that families that are yelling and screaming in front of their kids or even yelling and screaming at their kids has the same result as if you were physically beating them or abusing them. So, you know, I thought, whoa. And so we need to just be careful, Mom and Dad. I'm just telling you, your kids are watching. They need you to succeed. You're not going to be perfect. And you know, times that you may need to apologize to your kid, man, what a great value to instill. What a great value to teach your kids. Amen, everybody? Philippians 2 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Put your spouse first. You got to make that shift. And then here's the last one, is they don't wash their hands. Oh, this is gross. I know it. I'm a germaphobe. I am. And there's nothing more frustrating to me than when I go to a restaurant and I've got to go to the bathroom. And I'm in there washing my hands, and I see a brother come out from the stall, doesn't stop at the vanity there to wash his hands just goes out. I think they need to have like an alarm, like something that says, didn't wash hands, like come back in and wash. Like I may be one of those guys from time to time, say, brother, you need to come back in here and wash them hands. You know, this is just nasty. You know, because I've got to touch that same door handle too. Do you realize that? And then the same brother I see that did that, I walk out and he's sitting with his family. He's gnawing on a burger, man. Didn't wash them hands. I'm like, ugh, that's nasty. That's gross. You gotta wash your hands. Wash your hands. All right, everybody? Oh, my goodness. But here's the thing that happens is oftentimes we're convinced, you and me, that we're the only ones clean. Like, I don't have no issues. It's him. or as her. And the truth is, many times we both have unwashed hands. And we've got these preconceived ideas and notions, and we're figuring out that there's really issues that's happening for some that we may have never dealt with, or for some it's reoccurring and that we need to deal with. And I realize that some of us today are dealing with real hurt, real pain, real unforgiveness in your life, and it's time to wash your hands. It's time. It's time to allow God to help you. Hebrews says this, chapter 12. This is a great scripture. Man, this is powerful. It says, a bitter spirit is not only bad in itself, but can also, listen to this, poison the lives of many others. So not only is it harmful for you to try to keep all of that in and not ever deal with it, but it's going to come out. You're reproducing who you are. And so we enter into our marriages many times, I think, you know, unhealthy, because we really don't know sometimes what to expect. And I think there's some of that is very normal, especially, you know, I remember when Bethany and I, when we got married, and it was a journey, man. We there were some things about both of us we figured out very quickly, like, that's annoying. You know, and she felt the same way, you know, and we still have some things that we're annoyed with, you know, so we're still working some of that out. But, you know, I remember when we got our apartment together and after we got married, it was one of the hardest things, but also one of the best things, you know, and you learn to work those things out, talk those things out. Amen, everybody. I believe this, it's a lot less painful to work things out than to start all over again. We got to be committed. So I want to give you a few tips from the toilet very quickly. Number one, are you ready? Be honest. Be honest. Be honest. Matthew says, why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? There's no doubt that there's issues and things going on. You got to take responsibility for your marriage. One of the things Bethany and I, we just agreed on before we got married, that we're going to stay honest with each other and the good and the bad. We're going to be honest. We're not going to have any back doors. There's going to be no secrets in our marriage. We're going to be honest. I think we got to commit to honesty. That's a good place to say amen, everybody. We got to commit to honesty and transparency with one another. We've got to have, you know, that's the one thing about Bethany. She's my wife. I love her so much, but she is my best friend in the whole world. And I got her back. That's my girl. She's got my back. I'm her man, you know, but we're on the same team. We're not against each other. We're on the same team. It's not about who's right and who's winning. We're on the same team. And so, and we have, you know, issues and things that we always work through. But one of the things that the Lord spoke to me before we got married was so good for me to hear. And it's amazing how God anoints your spouse for you. He does. And when you wait, and don't just settle, listen to me, singles, don't just settle for anything, anybody, but you settle for God's best, I promise you it's worth it. I promise you it's worth it. But God spoke to me weeks before we got married as I was praying for us, and he just said this. He said, Kyle, I'm going to use her to break some stuff in you. Well, thanks, Lord. I appreciate that encouragement. I thought it was going to be the other way around, you know. But what's funny is we've seen God use each other to help us to grow and to mature. And again, not perfect, but using us because we're committed in our love for God, but to each other, to see us grow and to flourish. And I realize as her husband, I'm the head of the house, the leader of the home. Men, dads, you are that. Your wife needs you, your kids need you. And you need to know that and realize that. You carry leadership in the home. Listen, so goes the dad, so goes the home. Absolutely true. Dads, we need you strong for God and invested. Average dad only spends 7 minutes a day with his kids. Dads, we need more than that. 49 minutes a week ain't gonna cut it. We need more time with our kids. Y'all here today still? But let me say this very quickly. One of Satan's greatest fears, as I was praying, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you this today, that one of Satan's greatest fears is to see a marriage united. In honesty and integrity and love and worship to God. Why? Because I'm telling you, there's some things that wives that you're not anointed to carry that he is. Sometimes, fellas, there's some things that you ain't anointed to carry, but she is. And I remember one, you know, and we've always been there for each other. I remember one night, it was during a dark season of my life. And I remember Bethany was in our bedroom, and we were getting ready to go to bed, and I was just miserable. And I just knelt by my bed, and I said, babe, I need you to lay your hands on me, and I need you to pray. I need you to pray over my mind right now so I don't quit, so I don't give up. You know, there's a reason why God has appointed that spouse to you. And you got to realize as a marriage that God has anointed each of you for each other. Number two, you got to be forgiving. This is huge. Colossians, bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Here's what I realize. I'm a sinner that deserves to burn in hell for everything I've ever done wrong. I know that. And if a human were in control of my life and my destiny, that's probably what would happen. But thanks be to God for sending his son, Jesus, who gives us forgiveness, grace, freedom, and mercy beyond what I could ever comprehend, and definitely anything beyond anything I would ever deserve. And I'm thankful for that kind of love. But God commands us to forgive one another. And the key, I believe, to not forgetting to flush is keeping Jesus at the center of it all, center of your marriage. One of the things I've learned quickly in marriage, but just in life and ministry, is you got to learn how to forgive quickly. You got to release it quickly. Because I'm telling you allow those things to be bottled up inside of you, it will become a device that the enemy will use to try to destroy your life and those around you. Jot this down. I want to give you a couple things, not in your notes, real quick. Unforgiveness, though, is the breeding ground for destruction in your marriage. You've got to talk. You've got to communicate. I'm going to give you a real key in how to do that in just a second. But you got to remember scripture. It's the little foxes, the little things that spoil the vines. Forgiveness means this. If you're a note taker, forgiveness means bringing the balance to zero. That's forgiveness. That's really what forgiveness means. And so God no longer sees us as sinners. He sees us as his kids washed in his blood. And I'm not trying to say here today that whatever is going on is not real. I'm not trying to say it's not been hurtful. It's not been hard. But you have to forgive. You have to forgive. And I think the important thing to really help bring healing in your life is A, going to God. And then I love something that Pastor Dino Rizzo said in a conference setting that we were in last fall. He said, everybody needs three types of people in their life. Everybody needs a counselor, everybody needs a pastor, and everybody needs a friend. And I believe, and let me just say this, if you need counseling for your marriage, glory to God. That's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of wisdom and strength that you recognize I can't do this by myself. I'm going to do the word and get some help. So I don't care what culture says and what they try to paint with that, because that ticks me off, quite frankly. All right. And I think that we need to know that we have small groups in this church that you can do life with people. And I've got it right there inside your message notes. There's marriage small groups. There's a singles group. I'm telling you, connect. If you're single, connect with singles. If you're married, connect in some of our married small groups that we have. And one of our ones, Love and Respect, is a powerful, one of the most powerful curriculums I personally have ever sat in on. And so I just want to encourage you so much. Invest in your marriage. Invest in your relationship with God, no matter where you're at in the journey. Number three is you got to be patient, though. Even through this series over the next few weeks, it's not just going to change overnight, because you're living with a human who's not superhuman, who's going to forget to flush at times. Yeah, they're going to forget to flush at times. And so you have to understand that Ephesians says this, to be humble, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Here's what patience is. Let me give you a definition. Patience gives permission to work things out. I like that definition. I'm always trying to grow in patience. It's something I continually have to work on personally in my own life. It's hard for me. I think I'm growing a little bit, babe. I think I am. All right, good. All right. But here's what I've realized. There's some things not worth arguing about. If mama forgets to flush the toilet, I'm going to flush it for her. All right. Not going to argue anymore. All right. Them days are over. All right. And if I happen to forget, which I don't think that'll ever happen. All right. She'll flush the toilet. If she forgets to put the roll on, all right, I'm going to go get another roll and not argue about it. Come on, y'all don't know, hear my heart today, all right? So we need to be patient with one another. And then the last one is important, is be prayerful. Be prayerful, be prayerful. Psalm 147:3, if you guys would put that up there, it says this. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. I love this next verse in Ezekiel because I believe this is a scripture that many of us, I believe this scripture right here is a prophetic word for some of us that we need to just receive this scripture in our life and just ask God to do exactly what this says. It says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone, because this is where some of us are at. We're ice cold towards our spouse, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Marriages, I close with this, that last and have longevity are marriages, listen to me, that are supernatural. Meaning this, that they realize they cannot do this life. They cannot stay married without the presence of God in their life. You will hit tough seasons. Some of you are in the toughest season of your marriage you've ever been in. But I'm telling you, by the grace of God, he's wanting to step in and move and breathe life again over your marriage. For some of us, we feel like stalemate. We're not really going forward, but we're really not going backward either. We're just like we're here, but God is wanting to get our attention because he wants to take you from where you're at to where he wants you to be. And I just want to encourage you today, let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit in your life to breathe afresh in you again and in your marriage. Singles, I'm telling you today, this is for you too. Don't just settle for anything or anybody. And settle and wait. It is, I'm telling you, better to wait on who God wants for you than to rush into it and think, well, I got to get some. No. Stay in love with the Father. And I'm telling you, because of you being so in love with Jesus, all of a sudden that person just going to pop up in your life and they're going to love Jesus as much as you do. I'm talking about, come on, couples being raised up with the understanding of who their God is and valuing his presence in Jesus' name. Would you bow your head where you're at? I'm going to pray right now over every person, every marriage, every single. I speak right now over marriages in this place. And I just declare life again. I declare a rekindling of love for one another like never before. And Lord, I pray the power of your presence will be shown in their life. Help every husband, every wife in here realize that they cannot do this without the presence of God, and they don't want to. And I declare today over every person, and I just come against the voice and the lies of the enemy, and I declare over your life today that no weapon formed against you will prosper in the name of Jesus. And I speak the protection and the hand of God over every single marriage in this place. That you will live and there will be life in your marriage and love to be rekindled in Jesus' name. I pray for every single person right now who's on the journey. Some, God, that have that desire to want to be married. And Father, I pray that even through this series that you would help them see your plan and your purpose, that you really have their best interests in mind. You really do know what you're doing. Help them to see that. Help them to experience the deep love of their Father. And that's you, Lord. And so, Father, I just speak over them today. And I just thank you, God, for what you're going to do relationally all over this place. As your heads just remain bowed, if you're here today and Jesus is not at the center of it all in your life, before you do anything else, you got to put him at the center. He loves you so much. Over 2,000 years ago, God sent his Son for you. He died for you, took the most gruesome beating you could ever imagine, died on a cross, but then rose 3 days later. We serve a God who is alive and who is in absolute love with you. He is not mad at you. He is not frustrated at you. He loves you. And for people here today, that's where we need to start. Every head bowed, no looking around. If you say, Kyle, that's me, man. That's me. I'm going to ask you in just a second just to raise your hand up and you can put it right back down. But all over this place, let's honor this moment. People are going to make decisions to come to Jesus right here, all over this place. If that's you, put your hand up right now, over this place. Come on, without hesitation. There you go. Proud of you. Awesome. We're in the back. Thank you, ma'am. Awesome. Thank you, sir. Over here. Thank you, guys. Keep them up. Let me just say, proud of you, ma'am. Thank you so much, ma'am. Awesome, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Proud of you. Proud of you, buddy. Proud of you, ma'am. Awesome. 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 Hands all over the place. Awesome. And people are making decisions right here in this moment. They're saying, man, I'm going to go all in with Jesus. I want you just to pray this prayer after me. Say something like this. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Come on, say it again. Jesus, I give you my life. Everything I am belongs to you. God, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Today's a new day. Holy Spirit, I need your help. Lead me and guide me. Jesus, thank you for loving me. I love you, Lord. Amen. Come on now, for real, before you put your hands together, God did something amazing today. Not only seeing people step into a relationship with Jesus, but there's something that is starting this day in marriages that I believe it's been a while for some of you feeling that. So let's just give God praise for what he started today in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody. We bless you, God.